everyone. Welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'm interviewing Joy Boseva. Joy is a brand new hire here at Elegant Themes. Her job? She's our new staff photographer. I can hear you asking, what does a WordPress theme and plugin shop need with a full-time staff photographer? Well, as you may have noticed, over the last few years, we've been giving a lot of design resources away in and around Divi. So in the weeks, months, and years ahead, we plan to add free, high-quality images to that mix in order to make creating amazing things with Divi easier and more accessible than ever before. So during the course of our chat, Joy and I describe what that will look like, and of course, we share her story as yet another creative person joining our company and our community. All that and more in today's episode of Divination. Here it is. Joy, welcome to Divination.
Hi, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's a pleasure. It was awesome to meet you out in San Francisco recently, even though it was only for a day and an evening, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that about right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
It was really fun. And I don't know if most people know this yet, but you're the first hire of a sort of new kind at Elegant Themes. You're our first and only photographer, staff photographer. So that's really great. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is actually, even for me, it's like, it's very challenging. It's a whole new things, whole new world. It's really exciting.
Yeah, maybe just to get started, I mean, I know we'll dive into kind of later in the podcast, we'll dive into like what your plans are and what the goal is for your role. But maybe just to kind of wrap our head around it first, you can tell us what's kind of like a day in the life of yourself right now, because you know, what theme shop has a dedicated staff photographer? What do you do all day?
Just sitting around, hanging around.
No. We know that's not true.
Yeah, actually, it's first of all, this is my third week, I think, in Elegant Themes, by the way. So we kind of try to find the balance in my workflow and day-to-day basis.
Yeah. You're still figuring out what a day in the life is, I guess that means.
Yeah. But basically, I'm trying to help our designers to produce beautiful images for them. So this means that we agree on certain topic and I go there and try to deliver the images, which will include, for example, communication with venues or locations or models or whatever it needs to be done. Also, outfits, for example, and then schedule the date, photographing also could be, and retouching. But most of the time, I guess I'm retouching at home.
Yeah.
Not very fancy.
So basically what you're saying is like, as the designers come up with ideas for layouts or child themes or whatever the case might be, whatever we're working on internally, you're the one creating the original imagery for that so that we as a company own all of it and we can give it away.
Yeah, that's the point.
And with that, I mean, just to kind of clarify for everybody else, there's a lot of kind of administrative work that comes with your job. Like you said, you have to call up venues, you have to book models, you have to figure out, you know, all the logistics, not just show up somewhere and snap photos.
No.
You're doing all the legwork to get these photo shoots, you know, up and running, and then obviously doing the photo shoot and then all the editing as well. So you're a busy woman. I can tell. I can tell.
I am, but it's a great thing to do because you deal with a whole bunch of different things, actually. You meet new people, communicating. Even when there is a photo shoot, I just have to style the things, watch for the background. All this kind of, it's huge, and it's very exciting for me. I'm really passionate about that.
Well, we're really glad, obviously. I mean, I can't wait to see kind of the next phase of stuff that comes out from our design team, which you're technically on the design team, but you're kind of like in a weird way, a little bit of a bridge between the content team and the design team, even just by means of like you're creating content that our design team uses instead of content that is just for like our communication channels and stuff like what we do. So it's I don't know. It's exciting. It's fun. I'm so glad to have you on board.
It is.
So let's get a little bit of backstory on you. I'm curious, your website, which I like, I have it open here, your about section, and I knew this already, but your about section says that you have a master's in history, but that's not something that you use professionally. How did you go from getting a master's in history to being a professional photographer? What was that story?
Well, it's a long, long story. First, I have to say that I'm born in Bulgaria. I don't know if, in that time, I was really passionate about history. And that was why, like, I really want to do my master's there. And I did everything to do that. But at the end, in my country, wasn't very popular to be. What at the end, I should be at school and teaching kids, which I tried in my last year in university. I supposed to go and teach classes in real school, real kids, and I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, no, I don't want to do that. And it ended up that in the same last days in my university years, I discovered Photoshop somehow. Somebody showed it to me, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And I started playing with it. And at the end, I went to a casting for video editors in the television.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a...
Wait, so you went to do video editing, like...
So
you worked in that for a while, or?
Yeah, I started working in a television, something like the Bulgarian MTV.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because I was probably 20, 21 or something, and it teach me a lot of things. Like in television, people are crazy. I mean, like nervousness, stress, and all these kind of things. And I don't show this often, but I'm kind of shy person. And it teach me how to communicate better and give me a lot of stuff. But I think I was there for like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And decided to try print design because, you know, video editing, the step is like you just change the software and basically you can start doing some other things. And I went to an advertising agency. I worked there for 3 years, I think, or two it was. So basically I learned these things. And then I fell in love with a guy and I have to change the city. And I changed the city and then I started working for another advertising agency. But then the guy was moved abroad. He started working for IBM in Czech Republic. So I was like, okay, I'm coming with you. And I moved there and started, actually in Czech Republic, for the first time I started doing graphic design for web particularly. So I have to work with three guys actually, and I was the only designer. So yeah. And then I moved to Prague and was working as a IT designer as a graphic designer in an IT company there. And then it became boring for me. Because you are doing it for a long time, and I need to improve myself. I have this addiction to constantly learn new things. It sometimes
It. I mean, you've jumped from history to video editing to graphic design. I mean, those are quite the big jumps. I mean, even though on the creative spectrum, video and design and all that are very loosely related, this is a lot of brand new skills that you have to learn in order to make those transitions. So clearly, in line with our last episode, our previous episode, you are someone who likes to learn.
Yeah, I am. And
when did photography come into the mix?
Yeah, that's the part. I'm coming slowly.
Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to rush. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, then I went to Prague in Czech Republic already, and it became boring, just the graphic design. And this 9-to-5 and working for a in-house, when you are in-house designer, it's kind of every day it's the same. And it's like, then I did my blog. I started writing a blog about all kind of design, like interior design.
79 ideas? Is that it?
Yeah, that was 2009, I think. I think it was 2009. And the funny thing about that, it was became very, very popular in Czech Republic. Mm. Really, it was like, oh my God, people know me about not my real name, but 79 ideas. And it was a glorious time. And I wanted to create content for that blog.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. And I first started learning styling because I thought that maybe if I start knowing better about composition and how visually to arrange things and color combination and stuff like that, I will become better. I did that. I took a whole bunch of workshops and everything like that. But it turns out that even if I arrange the things prettier, I cannot photograph them well. And here comes when I invest in a fancy new Nikon and start trying to capture images, but I was working on auto and the images were horrible.
Had to make the big leap into manual.
Yeah, so I decided, okay, probably this will be the other thing that I have to learn. So I started learning photography and here I am. Like, it became a huge passion for me. It was like really, really, I couldn't think about anything else except photography.
That's kind of wild. I mean, like in 2000, so what, if you started your blog in 2009, did you start photography that same year or was it more like 2010 or 11?
It was 2011, the end probably, when I started to be like more serious about these things. But also with the blog, I was co-founder of two online magazines in Czech Republic. Mm. One was a wedding one, and I have the opportunity to work with one of the best Czech photographers. Like, and I styled for them, which was like a huge thing for me. And I started involving art direction and stuff like that. And I learned from those people. I have to admit that I was lucky in my life to have the chance to learn from some great, great people around me.
Yes. That's amazing. Well, I mean, I think your ability to switch between different types of creative professions and mediums shows that you've just probably, I mean, you seem like someone who's just got great taste and a good aesthetic because you're clearly, I mean, like, it's not, a lot of people have trouble getting the kind of quality of images that you're producing after having gone through, like, you know, training at university or something like that. And to have just basically picked that up on your own and through relationships that you built, that's super impressive. I mean, I love your work that I'm seeing on your website. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. I think at the end, it's all about passion. If you're passionate about something, you learn it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, you have to do that thing. And
I think it's really common in our company and in our community too. It's just like, we tend to kind of attract people who are willing to get their hands dirty and not shy away from something just because it's new or just because it's different or just because It's intimidating at first glance. You know, like half the people in our company, you know, from the top down, Nick and our head developer. It's funny because a story that we've told before, but our head developer, Yuri, he didn't know, from what I understand, he didn't know like much PHP when he reached out to Nick way back in the day on Twitter, say like, I'd be willing to help you out. And so like Nick taught him some PHP and then he just ran with it until he became like this crazy good developer. And now he's like, you know, doing all this really complex stuff with our payments, everything from our payment systems, like custom payment systems, custom website stuff, custom marketplace stuff. I mean, he's doing it all. And it was all self-taught. And I think there's stories like that all through our staffing, and including our content team, including you, our designers. And in the community, on the podcast especially, we've heard that kind of story over and over and over again of people who, you know, made a switch from some other, complete other industry, and they started tinkering with Divi one day, and they were like, I can be creative with this, or I can do this thing that I'm passionate about, or this empowers me to run my own business, where before I would have had to hire somebody and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't feasible. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they've got this new kind of lease on life, on creativity and their own empowerment. So I love hearing those stories, I guess that's what I'm getting at. I love it. So let's switch gears here and talk about, what you're going to be creating, and how that's going to impact our community, because that's who's going to be watching and listening to this. What can they expect from you, and how are they going to get it?
Okay, first, I think we have to mention that we live in a time where, in the Pinterest era, I call it Pinterest era, where visual things are really, really important. Basically, a picture can ruin one web design, right?
Yeah, or make it.
Or make it.
Yeah.
So that's why my goal is to create visual, beautiful things that will improve our product. I mean, like our websites and everything. And I don't know, it just, Instagram, Pinterest, people getting really, really well educated about visual culture. Mm-hmm. You can see people who are not related any way with photography, and they're producing amazing Instagram.
Amazing stuff. It's
like,
the accessibility of the tools is just making it such that if someone can understand the principles of what makes a photo work, they can take beautiful images with just about anything, including their phone, you know,
with your phone. Yes. Yeah. And it's really important that we have that level and above.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what my goal is personal. I really want to create beautiful things. And so we can, our designers can be, I don't know, can have that kind of quality to work with.
Absolutely. And not just our designers, but our community as well. I mean, I know one thing that I think everybody's going to be really excited about is, you know, we've, in the past, we've released several layout packs. We've done some wireframe kits and stuff like that. But the images that we used were images that you can find literally all over the web. I mean, like we use stuff like Unsplash, Pexels, etc., all these free open source image repositories. And while those are great, there's a few weaknesses. One, everybody's likely to have them. Two, they're not very niche specific. So like if you're looking for nothing but gorgeous landscape photography, you're in luck. But if you have literally almost any other niche need for quality images that you can't go out and take yourself, you're kind of out of luck. So I love that we're now going to be able to send you out, or rather you seek out and find opportunities to create really high quality, unique images just for our community around specific niches that they're either designing for or that they're running their own business in. I can only imagine that's going to be of insane value for everybody. And the fact that it'll be free is even better.
Yeah, and I can tell that too, because I was on the other side. I used to be a graphic designer, and I used to search for that visual, beautiful mm-hmm. images that I have to use in my web design. And I perfectly understand how helpful this will be.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So is there anything that you can tell us about what you've been working on so far and when we can expect to see some of it?
One thing.
Okay.
Just one. I think very, very soon you can expect a wedding template.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if I have to share this information even.
Okay. So if you don't know your boundaries on what you can share and what you can't, that's fine. We'll keep it at that. Yeah. And we'll tease everyone.
Switch the topic, okay?
Yeah, yeah. We'll tease everyone with the fact that it's likely that you'll see some free, extremely high quality, unique professional images that you can use if you're creating wedding websites or child themes or templates with Divi. So look forward to that, everyone.
Yeah.
So, quick question, and this is something that I like to ask everybody if there's time or if the conversation is allows for it. And we have a few minutes here, but I'm curious, because you've done so many different things and you've had to jump from one creative profession to another a few different times now, are there certain principles or things that you've learned, like ways of working or ways of being, that you have found have really made those transitions possible?
Yeah, I mean, like, very complicated question.
Yeah, so sorry, let me give you a bit of context. I mean, basically, okay. I like to have a section where if someone were, say, like, going to give a TED Talk or something like that, like, if they were to identify a lesson or two that they've learned in their working career that they would share with anyone and everyone, if they were like, this everyone should know because this was a hard-earned lesson or this is something that's been extremely valuable to me, what would that be? And so, like, I try to lead people into that towards the end of our interviews just so that we can kind of end on a takeaway for the listeners or the viewers. And it seems like, you know, you've been able to successfully jump a few different creative careers. And we were already talking about in another section or another kind of offshoot of that not too long ago about the importance of, say, principles and how, like, understanding visual principles allow people to take good photos no matter what they're taking photos with. Have you found working principles that allow you to be successful in whatever kind of creative niche you're trying to operate within?
Basically, from graphic design, I understand now.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
Graphic design and photography, one of the most important things is composition. Mm. You have to know the rules of composition. And I'm not talking about rule of third only.
Sure.
I mean, like, there are a whole bunch of different rules that probably I will not be able to say them in English. Sorry. But they are. And that's really important and help you as a visual person at all. I mean, like, mm-hmm. in the graphic design, in the styling, in art direction or photography, that's the thing. The other thing, of course, color palettes mm-hmm. and how colors communicate with each other. And I'm not talking about just the color wheel that I
sure.
saw. Some,
yeah, yeah.
some designers just use the color wheel. Yeah, that works. I'm done. No, it's doesn't work like that. And you're one of the most important things that I learned, probably, it's to trust my own taste. Mm. Because sometimes there are, everything says that this will not work according to the theory or stuff like that. But mm-hmm. at the end, it's like gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you want to do it, just do it. And the other thing, of course, my motto in life is no fear. Don't be afraid to try new things and jump in when you have the opportunity, because that's what it is. And I'm not the best technical person in the world. I mean, I know my camera settings. I know how to use it, but yeah. I'm not the most technical person in the world, but I have to jump in and learn that because this is my tool at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like, you know, being willing to figure out what works and what doesn't is, I feel like, a huge part of any creative endeavor. Yeah, I like what you're saying about the idea of obviously understand the principles, but when you said trust your own taste, I think that's an interesting idea because some people will have the exact opposite advice. Like particularly when you're beginning, like don't, if you're just starting out and you have no taste, don't trust your taste, trust the taste of other people, until you've sort of like trained your taste to be good. Did you go through any kind of transition period like that where you had to?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So God. What was that like? Just like, what did you go, what was your, what was the aesthetic that inspired you or that you kind of used as your guide until you felt like you had trained your taste up enough to kind of have your own aesthetic?
I think the design block that I started teach me a lot because I used to watch, like, I was posting every single day. I was really, really crazy about that kind of stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to do the same thing. I had a Tumblr blog, a design Tumblr blog, where I did 50 posts a day for years on end. Yeah.
Because you find something really, really well designed. Mm-hmm. It could be furniture or it could be a real home or whatever. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, I have to show this to people. They have to see it. Yeah, so I used to train myself very well to see that kind of beauty. I'm a huge fan of Scandinavian design first.
Yeah.
This kind of thing.
It's kind of hard not to be, right? It's like very elegant. It's very
muted colors,
clean and
And even my most favorite photographers, part of them are from Denmark or most of them are interior photographers or still life photographers. But oh my God, I forgot the question now.
No, this is great. I was just asking, I had just asked you what you did to train your taste because getting to the point where you can, because to your point, you said one of your key things is you trust your taste. But I was curious if that had always been the case or if you had to go through that training period the same way that myself and other people have had to do.
Just watch beautiful things, but selectively.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, learn what your preferences are. For example, every one of us has a style. Mm-hmm. Even though we work for clients and sometimes we have to do things that we don't really like.
Yes.
But you have to do it. And first learn what your preferences are, what colors you are drawn to, and watch things like that. And then improve, like, I mean, books, films, movies, everything is will build your visual culture and will help you improve. That's at least what I supposed to do.
That makes a lot of sense, and I think that's
my formula. I mean, it's not universal. It just things that
You say that, but I think to a certain extent it is kind of universal because I mean, you know, the one I've talked to a ton of people in different creative fields, and you know, the kind of stuff that you're talking about translates from photography to web design to print, you know, whatever you're working in. If you understand the principles behind what you're doing, if you're working visually, you have to understand composition, you have to understand color, like you said. And to get to the point where you have your own aesthetic, you have to train your taste, which again is something that anybody in any of these fields is going to have to do. So I think that the reason why I was asking these questions in a very convoluted way, I apologize, was because I think, you know, even though you're a photographer and we wanted to talk about, the resources you're going to be creating for the web designers in our community, I wanted to also talk about, you know, the common creative experience that you have that translates into their world as well. And I think this is exactly what that is. It's that creative experience that the principles and the discipline of any artist or creative type that they have to undergo in order to kind of master their craft. So
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I hope I helped.
I think you did. So, I think you had a lot of good stuff to say. We are getting close to the end of our time, though, so I do want to say thank you for coming on the show, and I hope that if anybody has any questions about what you do, that you'll be willing to hop in on the comment section on the blog tomorrow.
Oh my God, tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, all right.
Very soon.
I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Joy Boseva, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave those questions in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, I'll be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.